some airbags, okay? And so don't get mad at me. I'm only the messenger. Jesus is bringing it straight and straight up and in the face of the religious leaders, the Jews of that day, and it's in our face too. When he asked this question, whose child are you? Whose child are you? And if you have your Bible and if you're able to stand with me in the honor of reading God's word, can we do that together? John chapter 8, verse 31 through 47. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" Verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it in the family, belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told the truth that I have heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Now, we'll explain this in a few minutes, what's going on here. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we should almost open every prayer that way, in a setting that we don't know if every single soul is a believer or not. That if we belong, we'll hear from God. God, it's our prayer today that foremost, if there's a soul here that does not know Jesus, and hasn't committed their life to follow him as their personal Savior and Lord, that they would, and that they would, by placing their faith in him, belong to you, God. And that as they belong to you, God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, they would hear from you, God. And God, we pray for those of us who have already committed our lives to Christ, that we would clearly hear from you. God, if we haven't already in this service today asked you to shine the light of your Holy Spirit in our life, to reveal sinfulness in us that we might confess, in order that we might be clean, useful vessels ready to receive your word today, I pray we do that now. God, let us hear from you. God, we want to be your people. We want to be people called by your name, and we want to live in such a way that others come to know your name. Would you bless us that way, God? We pray this by your graciousness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Whose child are you? It's basically what Jesus is asking. It's the argument centers around this idea of whose child of you. Well, let me tell you, whose child are you? That question can be answered very simply. Your life will show it. Your life will demonstrate whose child you are. Go back to verse 31 and see what he says. To the Jews who had believed in him. Now, this is interesting to me. to the Jews who had believed in him. They had put their faith in him. They believed in his words, but they hadn't fully trusted in him, not all the way. They had intellectual assent that, wow, Jesus says great things and these are truths, but they hadn't fully put their reliance and saving faith in him. This is what I say would define false faith. A faith that ascends intellectually but does not trust realistically and pragmatically. There's a difference there. And the quality of our faith determines our spiritual paternity. The quality of our faith determines our spiritual paternity. In other words, are we really children of God the Father or not? Does our faith show one or the other? Whose child are you? So when you come to point number one on your outline and it says, a child of the devil is blinded by pride, that's where you kind of go, whoa, pastor, where's this child of the devil stuff in here? Hey, that's a little strong, isn't it? A child of the devil is blinded by pride. What are you talking about, Aaron? They're doing this whole we're children of Abraham thing. But Jesus draws the clear distinction down in verse 44. As he begins to paint for them, you think you're children of Abraham, and you're children of Abraham by lineage, biologically, but you're not children of Abraham by lineage spiritually. And so what Jesus is drawing is this distinction between, your lineage as a Jewish person and your spiritual heritage as a person of faith. And he says, if you're not a person of faith in God, then you're a child of the devil. Let's see what he says there in verse 32. He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? I love the way Leon Morris, a commentator, put this one. He says, they seem to have a superb disregard for the facts. A superb disregard for the facts. Keep in mind, Jesus is talking to them. The Jewish people are under occupation by what government? Rome. They're under Roman occupation right now. They're not really slaves, but they're occupied. Go back in their history and what you've learned in Sunday school. They went off to Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Then they were carried away in Babylonian captivity. Then it was the Assyrians as well. So these different times in their history that we have recorded in the Bible that they should know, they're just acting like none of them count. We've never been slaves to anybody. Bum, bum, bum. Well, they're thinking spiritually they've never been slaves. But Jesus is saying, no, you have been slaves. You see, as so many times in the Gospel of John, there's two different conversations going on here. There's the one that's happening in the flesh, the things that we can see, the things that we know and we can touch. And then there's this conversation on a different level, a higher level, the conversation Jesus is trying to draw them into, the spiritual level, kind of like the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well, John chapter 4? She says, about drawing water, and Jesus is talking about water. If you knew who I am, streams of living water would flow from you. And she's going, whoa, hey, time out. You blew my mind there. Because she's talking about physical water. Jesus is talking about spiritual water. So often in the Gospel of John, we see this happening. Two different things going on. So Jesus is speaking truth, but it's like they can't hear it. Have you had that kind of conversation with somebody? Where you're speaking what you know is biblical truth. You might quote scripture to them. And you don't do it in an ugly, mean-hearted Bible thumper way. You do it with all the love and kindness you can muster given the situation. And you say, hey, in order not to offend them, you might even say, might not say the Bible says, or quote, John 8:47 says, you might just say, hey, bam, and here's the scripture. And people just are repelled by it. You know what repels them? Their own pride. Their own pride. Just like the Jews here in verse 33 didn't want to admit that they'd ever been in any type of captivity. We do it today. I mean, think about it. That we're prideful beings. If you see a picture, Facebook or otherwise, and you know that you're in the picture, who's the first person in the picture you look for? You! I mean, yeah, you might say, well, I'm looking at my wife because she's really hot. You know, okay, yeah. Or I'm looking at my kids because they're really cute. Well, yeah. I mean, but we always want to see how we look in the picture. That's pride, folks. That's the way we're wired humanly and in our flesh. Pride. A child of the devil is blinded by pride. These Jewish people confronting Jesus were blinded by their own pride. Let's move on to verse 34. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, let's look there. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Point number two on your outline. Point number two says that a child of the devil is enslaved by sin. Not only are they blinded by their pride, but in their blindness, they're enslaved to sin. Not only can they not see spiritually the way they're living and what they're doing and how they choose, but they are enslaved, and many times they may not even know it. Jesus' reply dealt with their spiritual freedom. Sin enslaves us because the very act of disobedience separates us from God and inevitably makes escape impossible. Sin can possibly Sin itself, you know, keeping ourselves from that temptation that besets us or befalls us, we can overcome that. But the attitude of sin, the desire to sin, on our own, we're unable to overcome that. That's where we need the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our life, to set us free from our sin that so easily entangles us, as Scripture says. You know, there's so many scriptures we might read. I want to draw your attention over to Romans, if you would, please. So John, and then go to your right through Acts, and then you get to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin, but how can we live in it any longer? Talking to Christ followers and the church at Rome. Or do you not know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We're dead to our sins. Verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism in death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, this is a spiritual life, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life in him. Changed life church. Growing in God's life-changing love here at Southview. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see that? Romans 6:6. We should no longer be slaves to sin. And you're picking up a clue there that'll come in handy later in our sermon that should free your life. That if we've been crucified with Christ, we'll no longer be slaves to sin. A child of the devil is a slave to sin. Move on. Point number three on your outline. A child of the devil is murderous by nature. A child of the devil is murderous by nature. Hey, that's not very nice, Pastor Aaron. Why are you saying ugly things like that from the pulpit? I'm saying it from the pulpit because Jesus said it in the Bible. Okay, let's go. Yeah, John chapter 8, verse 37. John chapter 8, verse 37, we are never going to be accused of shying away from the truth at this church. I know you are Abraham's descendants, this is Jesus speaking, yet you are ready to kill me. So, you know, they're saying, hey, we're, you know, Abraham's kids, and we follow our father Abraham. And Jesus is saying to them, yeah, you're Abraham's kids, yet you want to kill me. You have a murderous nature because you have no room for my word. That's an interesting phrase there in the Greek, that no room for my word. Literally, they can't stand it, can't be around it. Interesting how it's interpreted there. Jesus says, verse 38, I'm telling you what I've seen in my Father's, or in the Father's presence, and you haven't heard it from your father. He's saying, your father Abraham was enslaved to sin. Your father Abraham was blinded by his pride, and you are enslaved, and you are blinded. And we're not talking about the same father here as what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that you are murderous by your very nature. Verse 40, as it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. He's trying to defend himself here, trying to make them think, you're trying to kill me, but I told you the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. So this is where they'd be going, wait a second, Jesus. You're saying Abraham wouldn't want to kill people, but you're saying we want to kill people. And so you're saying we're not Abraham's children? What are you talking about, Jesus? Remember, two conversations going on here. Jesus is talking spiritually. They're still hung up on the earthly. They're still hung up on the flesh. But a child of the devil is murderous by nature. I've got a question for you. When somebody makes you angry, you know, they really push your buttons. What do you want to do to them? When somebody really makes you mad, you know, especially the person that just seems to know the right buttons to push, you know, that person at work you always have the problems with, the family member that when you see their name on the caller ID, you're like rolling your eyes and you're going, oh my word, I can't believe what they're going to tell me now. What do you want to do to them? Do you have a murderous nature about you? You may not say, I want to kill them. You may not, you know, go look for the gun in the closet to go out and meet them or anything like that. But in your mind, you are so filled with anger and hate towards them. Animosity. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to hear from them because it's just like you can't stand to talk to them. That's a murderous nature within us, a hate-filled nature within us. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that hate that we feel is akin to murder. It's just like it. Hate is the background to murder. And that murderous nature is what a child of the devil will feel. If you feel that, and you feel that all the time, and if you're blinded, and if you can't hear spiritual truth, and if you find yourself enslaved to sin, never able to overcome temptations and sins, then you may be a child of the devil. Point number four on your outline. A child of the devil is deceived by sin. Deceived by sin. You cannot understand. You cannot know the difference. Verse 43, he says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. Clear, that word clear there is gnosko. That means to recognize as, you know, you've had experience with. Like, for instance, I'll pick on Sandy since she's on the front row. If, you know, I'm at the mall or something, and I see Sandy walking along, I'm not going to go, hey, who's that lady? Does she ever go to my church? I'm going to go, hey, Sandy, good to see you. You know, I haven't seen her at the mall before. I generally see her sitting right there at Southview Baptist Church, just like you do. But because I've had personal experience with Sandy, I can recognize her, and I can recognize her anywhere, right? Seen her here or there, I will leave. No, I won't do. Sorry. I'm a child of preschoolers, you know, Dr. Seuss on the brain, that sort of stuff. Jesus says, you don't recognize me. You don't know me. And the reason you don't recognize me and the reason you don't know me, he's about to reveal to them. Verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil. Okay, the gloves come off. If they didn't get it previously, they're going to get it now. You belong to your father, the devil. He's saying to them, your father is not Abraham spiritually. Your father spiritually is the devil. Because you want to kill me, because you can't hear me, you don't recognize me, you don't know me. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he's a liar and the father of lies. You've probably heard that phrase before about the devil, and now you know where it's from. You might want to memorize it. He's the liar and the father of lies. The devil, as John says in 10:10, is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar and the father of lies, as it says here in John 8:46. This is who the devil is, and if you're a child of the devil, you're going to be deceived by his lies, and you're going to hear his lies as your native language. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Ukulumu isi Zulu na? Ukulumu isi Zulu na? Who said no? Thank you, Stacy. I just asked you in Zulu, do you speak Zulu? You don't speak Zulu. None of you do. I mean, we have some here of African ancestry, but they're from Sudan. They're not from South Africa. They don't speak Zulu. You could not even understand my Zulu, even though what I spoke was plain Zulu. I said, do you speak Zulu? I could say to you, ukulumu isingisi na. You could say, yes. I just asked you, do you speak English in Zulu? Ukulumu isingisi na. Yes. Now, you don't know what I said in Zulu, but that isingisi sounds a little bit like English. You know when you've talked to people, whether it's face-to-face, or whether it's some exchange on Facebook like we have these days, or email. And it's like you're saying things here that you believe make perfect truth, and they're saying things here that they believe make perfect truth, and you just can't match up. They're not speaking the same language as you are. Just like my Zulu doesn't compute to you, if a Zulu person was here, they'd go, "Hey, wow, he's speaking Zulu." And they'd try to speak to me in more Zulu, and I'd go, "I don't know any more than that. I forgot. You know, it's been too long since I left South Africa." But you don't know Zulu because you don't live among the Zulu. We do know lies because we live among liars. And we may know those lies as our native language until such time as we commit our lives to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And at that point in time, we get a new language. Because we get the Holy Spirit within us, we get the ability to speak and understand and hear a new language. But there's this constant struggle back and forth, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, the sinner of whom I am chief, and you know, that I struggle with this body of death within me and the sin that so easily entangles me, that, you know, we live in this world and it's so hard to get rid of this world, like weeds that keep creeping in. Sin is in our lives. A child of the devil is deceived by lies. But now we've got some good news for you folks, because we're shifting gears. I walked out of the office this week as I was studying the sermon, and I said to Mary Duncan, Mary, who is such a good advisor and counselor and friend to me in so many ways, I said, "Mary, if you have good news and bad news, which do you want to hear first?" She says, "Well, give me the bad news, because I want to finish with the good news." I said, "Well, Mary, you just determined my sermon outline for Sunday." So that was the bad news. All the ways we're deceived. And all the ways we could be a child of a devil. Are you ready to shift gears? Say amen. Amen. Let's go to the good news. A child of God, number 5, abides in God's will. A child of God abides in God's will. That is such a great word, abide. Jesus says in verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to my teaching. That word hold is abide. I'll tell you what abiding means to me. Abiding is, and you know, I've known Melanie for 17 years. We've been married for 15 years. Abiding to me is when Melanie and I have had some sort of conversation that brings our hearts together. And I just want to put my arm around her. Even though we might be at opposite ends of the couch, you know, I want to kind of scoot down to her and put my arm around her and pull her close. And I just want to be there with her because I love her. Because of everything she means to me. I mean, it's like I could die and go to heaven right there because it's as good as it's going to get, God. Because I feel so much love for her in that instance. Abiding is that way you feel with your children. We've got some mamas with small children over here. Dana, I'm going to pick on Dana with baby Declan over here. And she's holding baby Declan right there. And it's that feeling you feel, you know, when they're so perfect and sweet, not when they're screaming, but, you know, when they're still and when they're laying their head on your chest and you hear their little breath and you feel their little heartbeat and you smell their little baby smell, not stinky kind, but, you know, the good kind, like baby lotion. And you're just like, I could die and go to heaven right now. It doesn't get any better than this. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about abiding. A child of God abides in God's will, and it's so good that you don't want to leave. You don't want to get up from the couch with your spouse. You don't want to put down that sleeping baby. You're like, hey, I could just sit here all night, you know? I don't have to lay you in your bed because this feels so good. That's what the abiding of God is talking about, folks. The way that God loves us so much, and we know He loves us, we don't want to leave. Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. If you abide in, if you rest in, if you exalt in my teachings, you are really my disciples. You see, there's a difference between saying you believe Jesus and really believing Jesus. Remember what I said at the beginning, that the quality of our faith determines our paternity. That we can see if we're really God's children if we have faith in Him, if it's natural and normal for us to abide in Him, if we obey Him, if we love Him. Let's read a couple verses to back this up. John chapter 14. So turn over in your Bibles a couple pages, if you will, with me. We got to see what Jesus says. John chapter 14, verse 15. You probably saw this one was coming, but that's okay. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. John chapter 14, verse 21, a few verses down. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I love that verse. Do you get that one? Obedience and love go hand in hand. Go down to verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Folks, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. If you have a hard time obeying God's word, you're going to have a hard time being in relationship with God. You've got to ask God to work on both fronts. God, soften my heart that I might love you in order that I might obey you. God, help me that I might obey you in order that I might be more in love with you. God wants us to love him. He's created us to abide in him. If we abide and rest in him, John chapter 15, verse 14. What's it say there? You are my friends if you do what I command. Our obedience demonstrates our relationship. God calls us to a relationship of love. He wants us to abide in him. That's number 5 on your outline. Number 6, let's move on. A child of God lives in God's freedom. A child of God lives in God's freedom. We're Americans. We can get jacked up about this. Amen. I got the red, white, and blue shining outside my house today. And you know, during the Olympics, I might cheer for some other nation, but I get excited when the USA wins, not because I believe we're perfect, because it is my home. And we believe in freedom. And so in our freedom, you know, we can have freedom to bear arms. We can have freedom of speech. You can say ugly things about Chick-fil-A, and that's okay. Because we have freedom. A child of God lives in freedom. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can I get an amen? Amen. A slave, verse 35, has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Did you know that if you commit your life to Christ, if you trust in him, the Bible says that you're adopted? You're adopted as sons. Not outside the family, you're in the family. You're adopted. You're given a new name, a new place. And it says in verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Our memory verse for the month. Free indeed. A child of God lives in freedom. So if you're going to put on a continuum in your life, and over here on the one end, you'd say, I'm in complete freedom in God. And over here on the other end, you'd say, I'm in complete enslavement to sin. And somewhere in the middle is this turning point in which you say, I want to get rid of all those things of being a child of the devil, and I want to turn and follow Jesus. Where would you say you are today? In your mind's eye. Can you say, I'm really, totally, absolutely enslaved to sin, or I'm sort of enslaved to sin, I'm kind of enslaved to sin. I'm real close to trusting Jesus that I'll follow him. I've trusted Jesus, but I need a lot more to learn. I trust Jesus most of the time, but sometimes I have a problem. Or no, I'm completely free. Where are you at? Because you know, God wants to draw you this way. He loves you that much. And he wants you to be free in him. A child of God lives in freedom. Let's move to number 7. A child of God loves Jesus. A child of God loves Jesus. That's verse 42. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I'm not on my own, but he sent me. A child of God loves Jesus. It's pretty simple. If you don't love Jesus, you don't love his words, if you don't love his ways, you're probably not a child of God. A child of God loves Jesus. Do you struggle with your love for Jesus? You struggle with your obedience to his words? You're normal. Don't get down on yourself. Don't let the devil beat you up. Welcome to the club. Didn't Craig ask us if any of us were messed up here today? If you're messed up at least a little, I mean, raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're really messed up. Or you're just not paying attention. We're all messed up. We're all stained by sin. But you know, here's the good news. The God of the whole universe loves you. The God of the whole universe sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you. That if you commit your life to Jesus, you can be set free from all the sin that seeks to drag you down. That's the good news. A child of God loves Jesus. Number 8, a child of God hears what God says. A child of God hears what God says. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. When people come to me and they ask counsel as a pastor, hey, pastor, I need to hear God's will for my life. The first thing I want to establish is, have they trusted Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord? Because if they have not, they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. They're going to have a hard time hearing God. The second thing I want to establish, if they say that they have trusted Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord, is, do they have sin in their life that's like spiritual wax in their ears or spiritual tarnish on their eyes that they cannot see out? Are they free of sin that so easily entangles and draws us down in order that they can hear from God and know what He says? Because what's our scripture memory verse for the month say, friends? Let's put that up there and let's say it together. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. Your life should demonstrate if you're a child of the devil or a child of God. Whose child are you? What does your life show? Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even though it is difficult to hear at times, that it's your word and it's given to us as a gift that we might know you. And that we might obey you, and that we might love you. Because, Father, you first loved us. In the midst of our sinfulness, you demonstrated your own love for us in this, that you sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. So, God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love for us today. And we pray that someone would give their heart to Jesus today, committing to follow him for the rest of their life, trusting him as their Savior and Lord. We pray, Father, that any of us that have already trusted him, that have wandered far away, that have been entangled by sin, would get free of that today, that we confess to you and repent and turn from that. We pray, Father, if there's a soul here you're calling to ministry or a soul you're calling to join this church body, that they'd come forward and make that known today, that we can celebrate with them what God is doing in their life. Encourage them and hold them accountable. God, we thank you for your presence by your Holy Spirit as we come now and sing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.